Well, would you take your Bibles this morning and open with me to 1 Timothy chapter 2. First Timothy chapter 2. I'm going to read verses 1 through 4 this morning as we continue our study called Firm Foundations. The things that give us a basis for what we do, for the Scripture itself. We're going through those things, and I'm excited every week because these are the foundations of what we believe. These are the foundations of who we are. Before we actually read this passage, I was thinking this week of churches I've been involved with, churches that I've looked at, a lot of different churches through the history of my life that have purported to the people of their community, things that they are thrilled about and things that they are excited about. One church says we have great worship. Another one says we have a great preacher. Somebody said our fellowship is wonderful. We have great koinonia fellowship. Of course, fellowship in Baptist means having something to eat. One says we have the greatest youth program. Another one says we have a great children's ministry. But the thing that I tend to see missing in most churches is the most important thing. When Jesus talked about the church, he says, "My house shall be called a house of prayer." You know, it's sad, and maybe it's because it's on Wednesday night, but it's sad that Wednesday nights are usually the least attended nights for prayer meeting. Now, we used to have real prayer meeting in some of the churches. I mean, that's all we did was we came together and pray. I read a book many years ago called Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire. There was a beautiful book on the story of Brooklyn Tabernacle and how it began and some of the things that have gone on in it since then. They're just reaching people left and right constantly for the Lord. They run about 9,000 on Sundays in four different services. But the pastor says the greatest worship time that we have, the greatest service that we have, is on Tuesday nights for our prayer meeting. The place is packed. Now, this place isn't packed on Wednesday nights, but their place is packed. And he says even on Sunday mornings when he stands to preach in the pulpit, when they built that church, when they remodeled, it was an old theater, when they remodeled the church, one of the things that they did was underneath the platform in the basement right below the platform, they built a huge prayer room. And he says, every time I stand up here and preach, I got people right underneath me praying the whole time. I mean, that the focus was on prayer. And I think that so many times we use prayer kind of when we need it. It's like a first aid kit. But that's not what prayer is all about. So as Paul is writing to Timothy, who is an upcoming pastor, and he's trying to walk alongside of him, he says in verse 1, "I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone. For kings, those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth." Let's pray together this morning. Father, I thank you so much that your word is true. It's always right. It always tells us exactly what we need to hear. Father, so many times we get caught up in things that are going on all around us. And it's almost like we tag prayer on the end of everything. It's almost like we just do this so that somehow you'll give us a holy blessing. But that's not what prayer is about, Lord. You know that. You've called us to lives of prayer. Lives, Father, that connect with you. It is our spiritual breathing. And if we don't breathe, we can't live. And I pray, Father, this morning you'll help us be reminded of the thing that we really already know, how powerful prayer is. And I pray, Lord, that you'll speak to my heart and to every heart in this room this morning. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul says to Timothy, here's a requirement. This is something you need to know. He says, I urge. The literal word there is I exhort you, or I beg you. I command you. The Greek word is protrepo, which means God's command for us is to pray. He didn't say it's a good thing to do. When you get a chance, pray. He didn't say, oh, throw a prayer in there every once in a while. Maybe when you sit down and eat your meals, and maybe before you go to bed, why don't you pray a little bit? That's not what he says. He says, first of all, pray. Paul is trying to persuade Timothy that the church must be a place of prayer. A church must be praying. You know what, folks? If we do all kinds of other things, but we don't pray, we've missed the whole idea, the whole boat. We've missed everything. Because it is in that time of prayer, it is in those opportunities that we have to pray together where God does some amazing work inside of us. Jesus said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. I wonder if you ask people about your church, if that's what they would say it is, a place of prayer. Rarely would they. But if we will earnestly pray, there's a couple of things Scripture tells us about this. If we will earnestly pray, first of all, God will hear us. Jeremiah chapter 33:3 says, call on me and I will answer you and I will show you great and unsearchable things that you don't even know. Wouldn't you like to know some things you don't know? I'm finding out I know less than I thought I ever did. The older I get, I know less. That's crazy, isn't it? And yet God says, if you'll just call on me, I'm going to show you things that are you can't even comprehend. It's because God is so amazing, so awesome. Cheryl, I took your advice. I'd showed a video a couple of weeks ago by Louis Giglio talking about laminin. You remember that? Well, he also does one on the stars and that the stars sing. Well, we shouldn't be surprised about that. Scripture says all of creation brings glory to God. But they've done some amazing things with technology to be able to pick up noises that come from stars. Now, I'm not going to show you the video, but you can go home and Google it. Just go to Louis Giglio, Giglio, G-I-G-I-L-I-O, and click in there, the stars sing, and it's amazing. These stars literally emit sounds at specific frequencies, even in harmony with other stars around them, and the whales also sing, and they put all of these sounds together, and it makes an incredible music. So much so that in the background you can put in the worship song, How Great Is Our God, and it fits perfectly. I mean, that's, to me, that's awesome, but it's just a taste of what God has for us. It's just a small portion of what God has for us. And so Paul, having experienced those kinds of things in his own personal life, is telling Timothy, listen, I go and I preach. I go stand in the tabernacle, in the synagogues, and I talk to people about God and I tell them that God loves them and He died on the cross for them. But the most important thing, the first thing of all, is that you need to be praying. If you'll pray, God will hear you. And not only will He hear you, the Scripture says He will move in power. Now, most of us have probably been in a vehicle that died on us. Anybody? Yeah? Okay. You've been driving along, something happens, you hear a noise, and then all of a sudden you have no power. Right? Not good. Or you get in, and you put the key in, and you turn it, and there's nothing. It's a terrible feeling. You got no power. There's always something that's wrong when that happens. And if you're a mechanic, you can probably figure it out, or you have to take it to somebody who is a mechanic. But I can tell you this, folks, one of the reasons that the church typically does not have power is because they're not connected. I remember we put in a brand new computer system at First Baptist Church in Pearland, Texas, huge church. We ran about 3,000 people. We got this whole new computer system so that everybody could be online and everybody could communicate and everybody could follow up on people and all this kind of stuff. We had this whole system put together, and the techs had come in and tried it all out, and everything's supposed to be working great. And so my secretary calls me on the phone. She says, "I can't get my computer to work." I said, "What do you mean? They already checked them all out there. We're all online. Everybody's good." She said, "I can't get it to work." So I said, "Well, okay, I'll come in and take a look at it. I'm not all that great tech savvy. I'm not like trucker dude back there who knows everything about these things." And I went in and I said, "Okay, well, let me see." You know, and I tapped on her thing. Nothing would come on or whatever. And I looked over at the wall and the power strip's not even plugged in. This could be the problem. This might have something to do with it. Somebody had come in there and vacuumed in there and used that area and unplugged her computer, and she could not get it to work. It's not plugged in. I think that's kind of a picture of us sometimes as Christians. We want God to bless us. We want God to use us, but we're not even plugged in to the power. And the power is God Himself. Look at these two passages. I love this. Matthew chapter 18, verse 19. It says, "Again, truly I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything and ask for it, it will be done for them by the Father in heaven." Now, is that conditional? What does it say? "If two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven." We always like to put the condition on there. If you're praying exactly the right way, or if, you know, that's not what it says. But the picture here is people who are looking to hear from God. Not to get fulfilled by what they want, but their hearts are clean with God, connected to God. Doing what God says. James chapter 5, verse 16 says this, "Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is" what? "Powerful and effective." Now, we can either believe God's word, or we can just say, "Hey, that's a pretty good sounding thing. I hope it works out sometime for somebody." God's word says if you will pray, if you earnestly pray, God will hear us and He will move in power. So Paul commands him, "I exhort you, I call on you to pray." There's also a challenge to this. He says the very next little sentence, he says, "I urge then first of all that these prayers be made." You see, prayer should be our top priority. It shouldn't like fall in there about sixth or seventh somewhere. Prayer should be our top priority. Many Christians use prayer as the last resort when God intends it to be our lifeline. Have you ever tried and tried and tried to get something accomplished and then it hits you, "Why didn't I pray about this?" Yeah. Why wouldn't we ask God, who has all knowledge and all wisdom and all power, to help us from the very start of anything, rather than asking Him at the end, "God, why aren't you blessing this?" It should be our top priority. Many Christians use prayer as that last resort when God intends it to be our lifeline. The three secrets to successful ministry, Billy Graham says, are prayer, prayer, and more prayer. And I tell you what, folks, a lot of people think, well, Billy Graham was so successful because he was such a great preacher. Honestly, folks, Billy Graham was a great preacher because he had the anointing of God upon him because he spent time with God in prayer. Other evangelists have said the same words basically in the same order as Billy Graham, and nothing happened. Is it because God picks certain people, says, I want to bless that person and that person and that person, but not this guy, not this one? No. No. It's because they understand there have to be connected. The power strip's got to be in the wall. And it is through prayer and prayer and prayer. That's the challenge for us. To pray first of all, not somewhere down the line, not, oh man, if nothing else is working out, I guess I better pray. Paul goes on to tell Timothy, I call upon you to pray like this, with petitions. Petitions literally means to bring special needs with an intense burden. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 says, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our times of need. You know what, folks? There are things that only God can do. And if you don't go to Him and ask for His help, it's not going to happen. Bringing those special needs with an intense burden before the throne of God and say, God, if you want this to happen, you gotta do this. You gotta show us what we are to do and how we are to obey you, and we will follow you. He says, first of all, with petitions, then prayers, literally putting God on the throne and coming to Him alone for help. If we don't worship Him, why would we pray to Him? Many years ago, I was going through this Bible study, and it was talking about specifically about prayer. And it really resonated with me because a lot of times, as a young guy, I would just say, well, I just need to pray, so I would just pray. And there's nothing wrong with that. But somebody told me in the midst of all that, wow, it's just like you're walking in and throwing your stuff at God and saying, God, here's what I need. I need it now. This is what I need. And I didn't realize I was walking into the presence of Almighty God. And sometimes we just need to be still and quiet and remember who it is we're talking to. I've heard people almost say the same prayer over and over and over and over again. They start it the same way, they say the same stuff in the middle of it, and they end it exactly the same way. I'm not trying to judge anybody's heart. I'm just telling you, hey, we don't just go walking into the presence of God and say, God, this is what we need today. Here it is, laying it out for you. Better get her done. We're walking into the presence of God. Which, by the way, He didn't want you to leave. And that seems to be the problem most of the time. Is we think that God's presence has one of those doors that if you get close to it, it opens and then closes again and opens and closes. And we're in and out all the time. You know, I'm going to check in with you, God. Here I am, you know, making sure everything's okay. Are we cool? Yeah, okay, bye. And we go do our own thing. And God wants us to abide in Him and spend time with Him and listen to Him rather than us talking all the time. You know what? If we don't talk all the time, we might actually hear Him say something to us. It's a novel idea. He says, petitions and prayers and intercession. This is bold praying on behalf of others. As Jesus intercedes for us before the Father, so we are to stand in the gap for other people. God puts those people on your heart. He doesn't do that just so you'll think about them. He wants you to pray for them. To stand in the gap. And then one we tend to also put kind of somewhere off in the distance. Thanking God. Do you really thank God? Do I really thank God like I ought to? I mean, is there a limit to the things that God has done for you? I mean, there's so many things that we could be thankful for that we never even say thanks for. Thanking Him for the things He's already done and also for the things that He's yet to do. Because God doesn't stop being a good God and a good Father. He loves you. He has a purpose and a plan for your life. He's not going to give up on you. I was reminded of that this week. I had a chapel time with the little kids from Eagle's Nest, and we were talking about the good Father. And it always reminds me of that parable that Jesus was telling His disciples about the young man who was tired of being at home. He wanted what he wanted. What he wanted was everything that he did, was coming to him. And he told his father, I'm leaving and I'm going to go do what I want to do. And he did. And it wasn't long until everything that he had was wasted and lost. And he found himself in a time of famine. And he didn't have any food to eat. And so he hired himself out to a farmer feeding his pigs. And he was so hungry that the stuff that he was feeding the pigs even looked good to him. And the Bible says he came to his senses. He said, you know what? If I was just in my Father's house as one of His servants, I would have everything I need. And so he runs home. And on the way back, he's going through this speech in his mind. I'm just going to tell my Father, I've sinned against Him, heaven against Him. I'm no longer worthy to even be His son. Just make me a hired servant. The Scripture says, on the way home, the Father was looking for him. And as soon as he saw him, he came running down the road. And he grabbed him and he kissed him. And the son was trying to get it out of his mouth. Dad, I don't deserve this. Just make me one of your hired hands. I've sinned against you and against heaven. Just make me one of your hired hands. And the father says, no. No. That's not what I have for you. We're going to have a party. My son who was dead is now alive. We're going to kill the fatted calf, and we're going to have a party because you're here. You're in my presence. You're my son. God loves us so much. Why don't we thank Him enough? And then the compass for how we are to pray. He says to pray for all people. We ought to pray for our leaders, our authorities, our families, our friends, our co-workers, for the lost. That's what we're in the process of doing right now on Sunday afternoons. If you missed out on that, it's not too late. We got lots of houses yet to pray over. But we're doing that not so we can say at the end of it, hey, we prayed over every house. We're pretty special. We're praying over these houses because people live in them. People that God loves. People that God cared about. People that Jesus died for. And we ought to be praying for them. And you know, folks, there are probably people in your immediate family that need prayer. There are people in our country that are supposed to be our leaders that we ought to be praying for instead of just griping about. I'm going to ask you a real serious question right now. Don't be lying in church. You don't be lying anywhere because it doesn't matter if you're in the church or not, right? When's the last time you prayed for Nancy Pelosi? Seriously. Have you prayed for her? Chuck Schumer. He needs some prayers, right? Do you pray for him? Or just talk about him? Obviously, if we don't pray for him, we don't believe prayer changes things. Right? We ought to be praying for those that are in authority over us, whether we like them or not. Little side note, don't necessarily like them, but I got to pray for them. Got to pray for them. No one should be beyond our prayers. Even those who have hurt us, those who betrayed us, those that have done all manner of evil to us. Do you remember what Jesus did while He was hanging on the cross and the people were spitting at Him and cursing at Him? He said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." Luke chapter 23, verse 34. No one is beyond our prayers. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They don't understand. They don't understand what they're doing." You know what, folks? There's a lot of people who are so caught up in themselves, and they're not even believers. They don't even believe that there's a God. So they're just doing what they think they ought to do. But folks, I guarantee you, they have a place in their heart that only God can fill, and they will only receive God if we'll start praying for them. If this nation was a praying nation, we wouldn't be where we are right now. We wouldn't. There was a time when we were a praying nation, and God blessed us beyond measure. And I believe He would do it again, because He says in His Word, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and what? Pray. Seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I'll hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sins. I will cleanse their land. Heal their land." That's what God wants to do for us. Not only is there spiritual requirements, which we just went through, but secondly, Paul says in this last part of verse 2, there's a spiritual reason for it. Look at what he says. After you begin praying and interceding and thanking God and making your request to Him, you need to be praying for kings, all of those in authority, because so that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. Peaceful lives, what does that mean? So that you never have a problem? No, that's not what it means. Peaceful people exude a life of peace, which is a fruit of the Spirit. And you know what? There's a lot of people in this world that have no peace. I mean, you say one thing to them and they explode on you. Everything's wrong in their life. Nothing's going right. It's a horrible war zone in their body, inside of their minds, in their hearts. They have no peace. You see, if you have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the one who is peace, Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace, dwells inside of me and is now living inside of me, and His life is more important than my life, so I'm dying to my life each day and becoming more connected with His life, and so I ought to be a person who lives in peace rather than in a bunch of arguments and strife. Living a peaceful life and living a powerful life. A quiet life. A quiet life is one that literally means steady and constant in purpose. Have you ever known these people who just keep on keeping on? Nothing seems to bother them. They just continue on in their lives. When struggles come, and they come for everybody, they just keep on. My granddad was like that. My grandma, no. Something would happen in our family. Something would happen on the farm. Tractor would break down or whatever else. My grandpa said, well, the tractor broke down. I'm going to have to get it fixed. My grandma's going, look, oh my gosh, how are we going to make it? We're not going to have any crops. And she'd go crazy. And my grandpa said, Jewel, God will take care of us. And He always did. He always did. You can either believe God or act like God's there. I mean, God, you got to do something here. Peaceful life, a powerful life. As we live out our lives in this manner, God uses us to be salt and light that He intended for us to be. But He's only going to use us if we become a person of prayer. Why would He use us when we're not even connected to Him? Why would He use us? He won't. He doesn't use dirty vessels. He doesn't use people who are not living in Him and abiding in Him. By praying for our leaders to be godly leaders, it helps ensure the open sharing of the gospel. Let me tell you something, folks. This nation right now is at a critical crossroad of beginning to shut down everything about God. Everything about God. It's attacked in every area of our lives. Even in the area of life itself. I mean, let's back up 100 years ago. Let's say it's 1919 instead of 2019. 1919, the government says, hey, it's okay to kill your child after they're born. Would that ever have flown? It's okay now. It's ratified by our government. What do we do about it?
Well, we don't like it.
Why don't we pray about it? Pray for our leaders. Pray that God's Spirit will so smite them in their heart of what's going on around them that they'll change. We ought to be praying for them. Folks, there's power in prayer. God said it. Thirdly, this morning, verses 3 and 4 tell us about the spiritual result. As we pray with prayers, requests, prayers, intercession, thanksgiving, as we pray for those in authority over us, as we pray that we will live peaceful and quiet lives, look at what verse 3 and 4 says. This is good, and it pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of truth. Listen, folks, the spiritual result is that the Savior will be exalted and the lost will be evangelized. That's what it says right here. Do you believe God's Word? Hello? Amen. Well, if you believe God's Word, then you got to do what it says in the first two verses so that the third verse and the fourth verse will take place. The Savior will be exalted. People will again start to realize that Jesus isn't just a name they use in vain. That it is the name that's above all name. Lives lived for Jesus and bathed in prayer point others to Him. Not to how good I'm doing and how good our church is doing. It's all about Him. God is well pleased with those who pray and then live for His glory. The only way you can, by the way, live for His glory is to spend time with Him in prayer. You know what spending time with God in prayer will do? It will give you a hunger for Him. It will give you a hunger for His Word. If you believe His Word is really His Word and you really want to hear from Him, why do you lay it down on Sunday afternoon and pick it back up on Sunday morning, the next Sunday morning? For those who pray and live for His glory, God is well pleased because we exalt the Savior when we do that. And then verse 4 says that the lost will be evangelized. Look, do you notice this? This is God's Word and it's in black and white right here. He wants all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of truth. That means everyone in Craig, Colorado is someone that God wants to reach. And we are more open to sharing when we've been praying. I tell you what, folks. Prayer connects us to the Father. And then allows us, as we've been praying and listening to Him, allows us to be open to other people. God wants to use us to teach and to tell the greatest thing that's ever happened in our lives. Our number one weapon against the enemy is prayer. We cannot let it be our last resort. Folks, let's pray. And pray and pray. The most powerful thing that God has given us is the opportunity to be connected to Him and never experience an outage. He wants us to be connected. And by the way, He never hangs up His end of the phone. He loves you. He desires to be with you and in you and speak to you. He loves you. Will we love Him the same way? Paul's telling Timothy, you know, you may do great things and people may talk well of you and slap you on the back and say you're doing a great job and all that good stuff. And people like to hear that, no doubt about it. But what would it matter if you're not connected to Me? We need to pray. We need to pray. I'm going to do something this morning a little different. We usually have a time of invitation right now. But what I'd like to do is just open up this altar here. And I want to encourage you, even if you can't get down on your knees or whatever else, come and stand around this altar or kneel around this altar and ask God, what is it that will help me be a better prayer warrior? To really have a concern for the people around me. To truly want to be in Your presence and abide there and never leave. What is it that would help me, God? If you will call upon Him, He will answer you and He will show you great and mighty things which you can't comprehend. I'm just going to ask Berta to come and just play through the song that was picked. We're not actually going to sing it. But I'm going to invite you to come and join me and let's pray together.